This is Great FM.
You know, the pandemic threw a lot at us, and this is old news, something we've all been reflecting on for the past 2 years now. But some facts just cannot be ignored. Commute takes up way more time than necessary. Pajamas make for pretty comfortable work clothes. Work from home is actually here to stay. And of course, that little tiny matter of the workplace completely changing. Hi, folks. Ahalya here with another interesting conversation on Great FM, the official podcast series by Great HR. You know, back in 2020, the World Economic Forum declared a reskilling emergency. I found this out when I was doing my research, and it definitely threw me off a loop. A series of statistics, you know, 42% of the core skills required to perform existing jobs are expected to change. More than a billion people will need to be reskilled by 2030. All of these made for scary food for thought. But the need for reskilling has been threatening to become a priority long before the pandemic hit. And I think that's something that we can all attest to now looking back. It's no secret that companies world over are pouring billions into learning and development and encouraging reskilling, upskilling, and any other kind of skilling that one can think of at a really furious pace. But the question here is why? And that's something I think that is worth talking about and very relevant to the conversation in the HR world. So joining me in conversation today is Sudeep Kumar Sen, Vice President, GI Group, whose expertise lies in hiring, sales force planning, training, and a lot more. He's also an active member of NHRDN and a very, very familiar voice in the world of HR journals, making him the perfect person to be on the podcast today. Hi, Sudeep.
Hi, Alia. Thanks for having me in this discussion.
Lovely to have you here, Sudeep. So much to talk about. And I have to admit, a lot of conversation that can seem really scary food for thought, like I said in the beginning. So maybe you can help calm our nerves a little bit with your perspectives today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look forward to it.
So let me start off with this. In my research, I obviously came across reskilling and upskilling as two big factors in creating a future-ready workplace. But to me, I was confused between the difference between the two. So define reskilling for us, and how does it differ from upskilling?
So to begin with, I would put it across as a layman. Reskilling is something which you know and you want to know it better. You want to sharpen. Upskilling is something which the adjacencies you don't know and you want to learn. So the element of learning new is much more in upskilling. Mm-hmm. And knowing something better is what is called as reskilling. All of these skills, there is always a way to get better, to learn. And today, I think the social media plays a very important role. Mentors play a very important role. So to get better in these skills, which I'm aware of, is what is predominantly reskilling aspect. Now, when it comes to upskilling, there are two parts. One is technical. Another is non-technical. Now, a large part of technical is in order to enhance learning the new chapters, the new exercises. When it comes to non-technical, it is getting better into something which you again know, but then use of technology to take it to the next level. That's basically what upskilling we are talking about. All of these are important for the future-ready workforce because in future, the demand of that particular individual is going to be high, who not only is able to do a technical work, but able to teach how the nuances of the technical work can be done in a good period of time by motivating people, by getting into understanding the quality in each of the individual, bring cohesiveness, bring inclusivity, and at the end of the day, is able to do the job on his own, and at the same time, able to get a set of people to do the job while he or she focuses on the next level of job.
Right. Okay. And it's nice that you bring that up so early in the conversation. I am curious as to what do you think are the factors that actually make a workplace truly future ready?
See, one has to understand that we are heading towards times where you will have different types of people in the workforce. We are talking about diversified workforce. We are talking about young talent coming into. Right. We also have people who are probably working with close to around 15, 20 years of experience. If you see, there is a different mentality people, different outlook, different people with different ambition level. Can we do away with any of those? The answer is no. So which means that you need to imbibe a culture which is of learning, a culture which is growth mindset, and a culture where you focus on giving opportunity to people, which is equal opportunity to people, yet earmark or bookmark people with certain skills best suited for certain role. This is what is Future Ready all about. It's complex. Why it is complex is because probably we are seeing a paradigm shift. We are seeing people young, ready to adapt to technology and able to make good course on that. We are also seeing that people who are probably experienced, not so open to kind of learn the new technology. That's the problem. I think the message should be that to be part of a future ready, we need to look beyond, that the time has come that while you are in a job, you need to look forward to get better in what you are doing and learn what more can you do to the job in a more efficient way with use of technology. I think that sums up what is called as future ready.
But you know, that's the thing, Sudeep, is also just one Google click and you'll figure out that this whole idea of being future ready and, you know, that being a priority has always been an important differentiator between, you know, successful organizations and less successful ones. So why is it that right now, especially in the past 2 years, that it's become such a buzzword, such a thing that everybody has focus on?
The thought process has always been that it's the employees who need to do this enrichment in order to be ready. But I think pandemic, and even before pandemic also, organizations who were aligned to the thought, say it's all about one single line, what took us, what brought us here will not take us there. Successful organizations have been running two turbines. One is business as usual turbine. Another is a thought process turbine, which is what are the top three things or probably five things that we need to do to be able to be there as a successful organization, let's say in 2030 or 2035. And this is where the thought process, the vision, the vision aspects the visionary aspects in the leadership team comes in. They need to engage people. They need to build cross-functional, strong leadership team. They need to also build second layers to the leadership team. They also need to invest in technology. It is a two-way traffic. Organization also has to showcase why an employee should be ready to get into those learning processes. And at the same time, the individual need to also exhibit the element of investment of time, energy, in order to reskill, in order to upskill, to be part of the second layer or the first layer of leadership team.
Right. Okay. I think that's very interesting. So essentially also to increase the pool of stakeholders when it comes to actually this commitment of making a future ready workplace. So it's not just about the, you know, the members of or the employees of the organization, but also of leadership top down.
Absolutely.
Sudeep, I think I'd also like to sort of explore the areas that one must focus on when building this future-ready workplace. Does it only sort of extend itself to skills, you know, reskilling, upskilling, and even maybe knowledge growth? Or are there other areas of growth that one definitely must consider when on this journey?
See, understanding of talent that you need specifically for different departments was very important. Creating a wonderful entry barrier for that talent is also very important. The next is, I think organizations spend a lot of thought in order to whom to hire. But organizations need to also understand that there would be a mix of people who are intellectual and intelligent and brilliant. You need to also understand that there has to be the second layer who do a lot of execution work. What if in a society, everybody wants to become a doctor, an engineer, and probably an MBA graduate. Will the society survive? No, because there will be requirement of probably an ironsmith, a goldsmith as well, right? That's the balance which society goes with. I think the same reflection is within an organization as well. You need to develop muscles with those people in those specific areas where they can grow, they like it, and they're ambitious about. You pick up people who are probably having a different thought process, and there's nothing wrong in having a different work process. Probably their skills are different. Now you want to imbibe common skill of growth mindset into all of them, you're heading for a disaster. But then when we start generalizing without thinking that what can I do for this individual in a different way, we either end up creating an environment where people are upset, we end up having attrition, and then after that person is attrited, we try multiple options to fit into that role. And then we realize that the other options are not fitting to the technical role or the technical appetite or the technical know-how that he was bringing into the company. So what happened? You never got a right replacement. The best person that you had, you lost because of not able to plan, not able to configure a throughput or an organization structure.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think one of the most important skills to have is to also understand and embrace what you're working with, who you're working with, and to, I think, strengthen everybody.
Understand the ambition level and to also understand the ambition level.
And I also want to sort of bring this conversation to the HR dialogue, which is, what are HR's primary concerns going to be when it comes to building a workplace of this kind? What is their role or contribution?
I think HR will play a very important role because I think there's a lot of transformation that has been happening in HR.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I think today it has started in a big successful organization. It happens that they are aware of the organization goals.
Mm-hmm.
They are aware of the organization budgets.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also aware of the fact that how the planning needs to be done. They closely work with the cross-functional leaders, be it sales, customer service, technology, accounts, legal, compliance, all of them.
Right.
So if an organization has to be successful, they need to have stable HR leadership. Again, a leader who knows the plans, the goals of the organization,
mm-hmm.
and works with the cross-functional teams. Once that particular thing is done, then the HR needs to come up with finite plans, which says, what's the hiring we are going to do, from where they want to hire, and what's the purpose of that hiring, what's the kind of goal, what's the ultimate target that needs to be met by building a team of new entrants into the organization. Cross-functional activities is what I would say HR's primary role will be as we move into the future ready, or as we move from 2022 to probably 2020, 38, 35, and so on.
And Sudeep, surely this is, I mean, at least the efforts and the volume in which they're being made to make a workplace future ready are quite new, right? So we are learning as we are growing and as we are going. In the process, what are some of the mistakes or the missteps that organizations should be careful about, should keep their eye out for?
Yeah, it's basically the short-term plan and the long-term plan.
Mm-hmm.
One needs to not mix these two.
Mm-hmm.
And one needs to also understand that expectation of the people from expectation of the team members in contribution to short-term and long-term should not also be confused. There should be clear plans, there should be clear directives, there should be clear narratives. All of these needs to also be explained to the individuals.
Mm-hmm.
What they do, contribute what percentage of it to the short-term plan and what percentage of it to the long-term plan.
Right.
They need to also communicate that people who are responsible for short-term plans needs to deliver within the short-term plan. Because if the short-term plans don't add up, then it creates a real void in terms of the long-term plan.
Hmm.
I think governance is very important.
Yeah.
And that gives every individual an outlook of what they're doing, what is that next they need to do, and et cetera. That helps an organization in terms of meeting their short-term and the long-term goals without losing people at different intervals of time and all.
Right, absolutely. That's a really valid perspective. Actually, all of your perspectives have been really valid throughout today's conversation, Sudeep. And
Thank you.
before we wrap today's podcast, I wanted to ask, are there any final thoughts that you'd like to leave everybody with when it comes to building this future-ready workplace?
I think it's not about learning. Nobody is today aware of the whole chapters. We are learning as we hear from many people who have some element of experience. We need to be ready to learn. And more than ready to learn, it is about learning from, we will make mistakes, learning from those mistakes. We need to bring and build an inclusive organization and, of course, a culture. And the third most important thing is we need to be ready to transform. Transformation, which is A, use of technology. Number two, transform with the inclusion of of Gen Z that we talk about and their thoughts. And I think the last point is about reviews, governance. If we have got all these three things in place, any organization is bound to be successful.
Fantastic. I know that we started the podcast today on that scary note, but yeah, you definitely calmed our nerves, and that's a great note to end this conversation on. Thanks so much once again, Sudeep, for joining us today on Great FM. It's been lovely catching up with you.
Fantastic. Thank you. My pleasure. Look forward to similar things in future as well.
Absolutely. And you can always rely on Great FM to keep you clued into, all the happenings in the HR world. I'm Ahalya signing off for now, but of course I will be back very soon with other interesting conversations. So make sure to keep your eye out for that. On that note, catch you soon, everybody. Thank you.
This is Great FM.